How are we this morning? How are we this morning?
Above average.
Above average. This is the place to be, the church, the house of God. And it's wonderful to be back. It's wonderful to have the sun streaming through the windows and to have the joy of the warmth of the fellowship that we share. This fellowship has been shared for many generations and will continue to be shared until Jesus comes back. What a joy to be part of what God is doing. Ken and I have been looking through generosity, and we've done two already. We looked at God's generosity, the creation, the redemption, the salvation, how God gives us so much that we don't have to pay for, the breath of life and all the good things of God. And then last week, we looked at God's delegation. Him not holding back that goodness, but giving it to you and to me. And he doesn't pour that out to you and to me as containers to just hold it. He pours that to us as vessels that receive, but with an outpouring, an open end where they can channel out the goodness of God. It is not for us to hold. So we've looked at that aspect of God being the one who gives everything. Our invitation from him to be stewards and good delegatees or people who receive what he's given. Today we're going to be looking at actively what can we do? How can we be a generous people? How can generosity be a way of life? Not just as an act or something we do on a Sunday, but this can be the culture, the way, the language we speak, the life that people see in us as they interact with us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift we have received for free. And we thank you for those things you have entrusted us with. Would you help us as we hear your word this morning? Would you help our ears to be inclined to hearing from you, to hear what you have to say for each of us? And God, would you cause us to be a generous people, not just as acts that we do, but as a way of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I come from a tribe called the Kikuyu or the Gikoyo people of Kenya. I grew up in Kenya until I was around 24. I moved to the UK later on. So Kenya still is my home. I've got the privilege of being British as well. So I'm a dual citizen. But my biggest kingdom, my biggest, most precious citizenship is the kingdom of God, which is the citizenship that God has granted us. But the Gikuyu people of Kenya, the name they have for God is Ngai. Try and pronounce that. Ngai. And Ngai for the Gikuyu people means the one who gives all and to all. The one from whom all the benevolence, all the wisdom, all the gift, all the life, the one where it comes from. And this ancient understanding captures something profound about God's very nature. Just before the halftime break, I was in school at Weldon Primary School. And I taught them a line that used to be part of our opening words, and I must have used it here before, where we say, God is good
all the time.
God is good
all the time.
Are you sure?
Yes.
God is good
all the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
And that is his nature. I was teaching them just to add that element. That is his nature. His nature is good. He is a God who is good. And I remember I said that to them. I did three assemblies in the 3 mornings I was there, 3 out of 5 mornings. And at the third morning when I said that to them, I could hear it echoing around the room. Because we capture that nature of God. And so the Kikuyu people call God Ngai, the one who gives, the one to whom all belongs, including our lives. A few years ago when I was in Bristol, training for my theological training, I used to do some outreach with the university students, the Uni of Bristol secular institution. And occasionally I would interact with students. during that outreach of the little chapel in Bristol Uni, which we will do our outreach at. And this Chinese lady comes to me and she asked her, "What's your biggest contention against the Christian faith? What annoys you about Christians?" It is a brave thing to ask. And I paused and I waited for her to respond. And she said something that shook me. And I was like, "I didn't expect that. That's a surprise." She said to me, "I don't understand why Christians thank God for everything. Why do they thank Him? If I do my exams, I have worked hard, I get my good grades, glory to me. I'm the one who's done the job." And I stopped. I said, how do I come back to this? Someone's biggest obstacle to the Christian faith is that we thank God for everything. Celia has read for us a beautiful passage from the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 20. But prior to that, the first 10 verses is David. At this point, Solomon has just been made the king. And David is aware of his frailty and his inexperience. And so David goes to all the leaders in the communities and says to them, "I personally am going to give something towards Solomon. Solomon is the one who's going to build the temple for God." And so he says to all the leaders, and he says this with a clear mandate. He says to them, "I want you to be involved in this giving." And people show up. People give generously. People give so much. In verse 8, it says, "Whoever had precious stones, they gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, into the care of Jehiel, the Jeshonite. Then the people rejoiced because these people had given willingly. For with single mind, they had offered freely to the Lord. King David also rejoiced greatly." People showed up and they gave so beautifully. And then what Celia was reading to us, David did not obviously send texts and say thank you to ABCD for doing this. David opens his remarks by thanking God. He doesn't thank the people. He says, listen to him saying in verse 10, "Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom.'" David says, it all comes back. It comes from God. We're just giving a little thing back to Him. And in doing this, as you read those 10 verses, David does three things. He recognizes the source. And that is why Christians from all generations, they have always thanked God for everything. You wake up in the morning, you thank God for a new day. You wake up in the morning, you thank God for the breath of life, your voice, your capacity to see, your capacity to move, your capacity to eat. All those things has been part of our culture. And this goes back into Scripture, thanking God for everything. So he recognizes the source. And that is what I say to that young student. We recognize the source. The God, this God who gives us even the energy to stay up at night and do our revision. Yes, we do the revision, but he gives us the strength, the capacity to keep going. He gives us everything. He gives us the opportunity, the intellect, the capacity to understand. All comes from him. So this is a key part of our learning. In David's way, he says he recognizes the source. Generosity flows from God. All good things flow from him. And then he reminds us that we should, in our generosity, be humble. A few weeks ago, we went to Spring Harvest. And during their worship, there's this tradition. They often have a very good artist at the front doing some random painting. And this lady was painting a masterpiece. But then she said to everyone who wanted to be involved to come to the front and just adding to the bits that she was doing. So we got there with Sifa, and all she wanted us to do was put a few dots into the painting, a massive piece of painting. Very little things, little marks, little strokes of the paintbrush. Brothers and sisters, however much we can give within our lifetime, in the grand nature of God's kingdom, it's like those little dots. And I'm not saying that to say it's insignificant. I'm saying that to remind us of how humbly we should be in our generosity. We recognize that God is the one who gives everything. So David says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? It is just that little invite, a little boy with a stroke of a paintbrush or a pen adding into the painting. Whatever that painting is at this moment, those little dots are there. They're still there. Your contribution to God matters, but it should be given in this approach of David with great humility. Remembering that everything comes from God and we are giving back to Him. Everything, its source is God Himself. It is like a river. A river has its source, the great river Nile that streams all the way from Uganda all the way to Egypt. Its source is in Uganda, in a place called Jinja. I've seen the source. It doesn't look any significant. But all I can say to us as Christians, our source is God Himself. So we anchor ourselves to the source Himself, then we can be humbled in knowing that we don't give of ourselves, but we only give that which has been given to us. And then David reminds us, the third thing he reminds us is joy in giving. Ken demonstrated that very well, how he gave out those chocolates. Cheerfulness. The scripture talks about cheerfully giving, joyfully giving. Because we know in our giving, we are thanking God for how much He has given to us. Remember to do it joyfully. And it's not just the giving of money. It's the giving of our time, the giving of our space. As a church, we are thinking about reconfiguring how our church looks like. It will mean a little adjustment to how our church is like. We are sharing our space, and we ought to do so generously. When we share our time, when we share whatever God has given us, we do it with joy. Who loves Ron Atkinson? Mr. Bean, put your hands up. Big fans. I love Mr. Bean, and I was introduced to him when I was growing up. We did have that black and white TV, and we would watch him so many times. In one of his episodes, Mr. Bean accidentally ends up conducting an orchestra. Some of you will know that episode. And he has this little conductor's baton. And he actually stumbles upon doing that task, because what he does is he brings a Christmas present to the conductor, and then he gives that to the conductor, and then the conductor is holding the baton on one hand and the present on this side, and he decides, the conductor, to go and put the present in the car. Unknowingly, Mr. Bean has got the conductor's baton, I think that's what it's called, and it goes up, vroom. And the orchestra, they start playing the instrument, and it goes really wrong sometimes, and there was this bit that he went quite high up, and you could feel the videographer captured the tension, because the orchestra participants are waiting for him to adjust the key, because this is asking too much of them. And then he goes down, vroom. That episode is available for you to watch on YouTube, and you can watch the whole episode, or there are short clips of it. The reason I brought this up is to ask you and me, who gives you the cue in your Christian way of life? Who is giving you the cue? Who are you taking the cue from? Are you getting the right conductor to give you the cue to be a Christian? If you let the world do it, they'll do it the Mr. Bean way, and it's not going to be fun. It's going to be stressful. But if we take our cues from Jesus Himself, we are very blessed. What we read in 1 Chronicles was Jesus, David and his people giving generously. These guys didn't even have a conductor. David was a renowned person who loved God and he was faithful in his passion for God. But that time, the main conductor, the best that there has ever been, the best there will ever be, Jesus Christ himself had not shown up. You and me are very privileged because the key conductor of the heavenly kingdom orchestra has already burst into the scene. He shows us how to live our life. He shows us how to do our giving, how to be generous. And generosity, actually, it takes a big percentage of scripture, if you think about it. When people preach about it, sometimes it's difficult, and Cain clarified very well, we are not trying to guilt trick people. And I always say, guilt does not have enough momentum to cause us to do what God wants us to do. Grace is what we operate from. Grace that's been poured out to us. So who are you taking your cue from? Mr. Bean, conducting it accidentally? The world? Or is it Jesus himself, the master conductor, who doesn't just learn how to conduct, but he has been part of every instrument. He has been through every suffering we will ever suffer, every struggle we'll ever face. He knows you and me by name. So when he moves those cues in your heart and causes you to serve him and challenges you to offer yourself, please move to his tune. Jesus, in his teaching, he brings us some really important things, three things. He says, give from the overflow. Give from the receiving of grace. A selfish person will want to hold because they don't want to lose, because they don't know what will happen if they lose everything. A selfless person gives with joy because they know even that which they have now has just been given to them and it can be taken away. But they give that because they know if their hands are out open in a culture that crunches the fist, Jesus says, open yours, give. It's blessed to give than to receive. I have, in my entire Christian faith, been a beneficiary of so much giving, but primarily from God. And so as I give of myself and as you give of yourself, give from the overflow. Stay in close proximity to God, who is the giver. Stay connected to the giver, and then it will overflow from you. You won't be tired of giving. You won't be exhausted. You won't worry. It will become like that second nature, because he will give and we will give. He will give, we will give. We've been loved to love. We've been saved so we can care. We've been shown kindness so we can extend it. We've received compassion so we can extend it. It is not for us to keep. The more we give, the more he gives. That is his nature. He's a good God. He shows us his goodness. And so give from that overflow. There's a passage in Matthew that Jesus talks about the treasure. And it says, where your heart is, there your treasure is. Value the things of the kingdom. If the kingdom life, the kingdom way is your priority, is that what moves you? Treasure. Jesus gives this story of a woman who gave her 2 coins. And he says this is the one who's given most because proportionately she had given everything that she had because she knew who gives everything. So I'm challenging us to think about that and how that causes us to prioritize the things of God, because from him we have received everything. God is from whom we give. Tim Keller says, generosity is a spiritual discipline that breaks the idol of materialism in our lives. It is not just that we give because we have received. When we give, when we become a giving people, we are sharing a different story. We are becoming counterculture. Because where everyone else is trying to accumulate, we are trying to give. We are trying to give and change the narrative. It is a sacrifice. It will cost you something, obviously. But it's a sacrifice that Jesus has shown that it's possible. We pick the cue from him through his example. He is the one who has showed us how to do it. We can learn from him. He is the master orchestra conductor in his example. And as I said, we don't give out of guilt. And when I say giving, please don't just think about the finances. It's the time. Time is the most precious commodity nowadays. They say for the children in the younger generation, the biggest gift their parents can give them is the gift of time. They may buy them all the presents, all the goodies, but sometimes all they need is just spending time with their mommy or daddy or grandma or auntie or godparent, anyone that's connected with them. So we are talking about the giving of our time. And as a church, we are looking into growth. The numbers are changing. People are warming up to the work of God. They're warming up to the love of God. This morning we had a young man who just came into the service. He had never been to a church before. And I drove past him and I said, God, please direct him to the church. And he came in. His name is Eddie. And he said, I'm going to come back. And Sue, who was once helping with Rock Solid Monday night in the community area in Priors Hall, recognized him because he used to go to youth club there back in the days. So as you give, be aware that something is happening, the church is growing, and so God will be asking more from you and from me, more of our time, more of our prayer, more of sacrifice from what we can hold back. And in that culture of giving, God wants you to do it cheerfully. Sacrifices can be, it can feel like it's pinchy and painful, but God wants you to give out cheerfully. I brought these little hammer beads, I think they are called. This is made of those. And you put them on a template, and then afterwards you iron them. And I'm going to hold this up as you think about what God is calling us to do as a church. He's asking, what's going to be your contribution to the kingdom? What are you good at? How are you going to participate? And please, oftentimes when people do these talks about generosity, they cheer people on and people are filled with good intentions. Please, don't let it stop at good intention. Look for a way of channeling that, adding your little bit, your contribution to the work of God. Because we need each other. This church needs you, and you need it. It's a mutual giving. But the global church needs you. Will you be a cheerful giver? Will you do it with joy? Will you do it to glorify God? Remembering David, when everything went so well, he went back and praised God. He acknowledged the source. He was humble and he was cheerful. So as we pray, I want you just to ask you, what's been giving you the cue in your generous life? Will you let Jesus be the one who gives you the cue? Will you let him be the one who shapes how you live out your life? Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are the amazing, beautiful, perfect conductor of our orchestra. You are the one who shapes how the kingdom should be lived out. And we pray that you would help us to know you more, to know your love and to know your care. And as a church, Lord, we pray you would help us to be a generous people. And in our generosity, people would feel welcomed and loved. So help us this day to to think about what's our contribution to the kingdom here in Weldon and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.